Welcome into DTC. My name is Joe. I'm in the driver's seat of this clown car of discussion. All DC sports talk here for the next 15 or 20 minutes or so. Joined by FP. Say hello, FP.
How's it going, everybody?
LP.
Hey, hey.
And Stevie.
Hey, hey. How's everybody doing out there?
We got a lot to discuss tonight. We got allergies crushing people up and down the East Coast. Nobody can breathe. We got North Korea causing a fake war with the powers in the West. We got Harper crushing home runs, Wall crushing the Hawks' dreams, Carmelo crushing on all kinds of strippers, and we'll get to that later on, hopefully. And the Caps just getting crushed in the first three games here of their series with only one victory to show. But before we get into that, and I think we're going to spend quite a bit of time on it, let's talk about the Nats. Let's talk about that walk-off home run and what we can expect from the upcoming series here against the Braves.
Well, I mean, as the resident Nats expert here, I mean, what we're going to talk about is the walk-off home run. What we should be talking about is the reason we needed a walk-off home run is because the bullpen blew another save. And that is the early storyline, and that's going to be the storyline until it gets fixed. Blake Treinen is a disaster through 10, 15 games. So, you know, it is what it is. This could be Rizzo's legacy here, is that he never was able to get that closer, to close the deal, no pun intended. But, you know, either they fix it or he's going to have to do something. So luckily the problem is being diagnosed early on. So if it gets better, great. If Treinen turns into it, Kota Glover's been pitching really well. He may be able to step into it. Sean Kelly is pitching decently. He came and got out of a jam. And the only bright spot in the pitching is that the starting pitching has actually been pitching really well. They're going 6-7 innings deep into these games. Gio has looked amazing these last couple of games. Looked like the Gio of 2014-15. So G is pitching well. Max is doing his thing. Strasburg's doing his thing. And Joe Ross is going to come up soon, hopefully, in the next week or so. And they'll have their full squad back. So, listen, like I keep on saying, I know I'm beating the dead horse. It's a long season. They're 7-4 right now. They're, you know, right in first place or right under the Marlins, who had a good series against the Mets. And they're on paper. They're doing well. Bryce played out of this world on Sunday. 2 home runs, 5 RBIs. He won the game for them, and that's the type of player that he is. From time to time, he's going to win you a couple games. That's why his WAR is so high. So, you know, he played like a stud. And the other guys are coming together. Murphy's been playing great. Zim is off to a great start. So, big series against the Braves, brand new stadium, 4-game series. Let's see if they can, you know, this is their first extended road trip. I know they went down to, they went up to Philly for a few games, but this will be their first kind of extended trip on the road. Now, let's see, if this team can get hot. And Trey Turner is going to come off the DL tomorrow. So, hey, I'm happy. I know everybody's complaining about the bullpen, but give it some time. Young bullpen, some young arms. Let's give them a little bit of time. And in Rizzo, I trust. How about that?
Well, and you're right. It's a long season, and trades definitely happen more frequently mid-flight during the baseball season than in other sports, for sure. At least that's how I always remember it year to year. It seems like pitchers in particular tend to move around. But Harper, I could have believed this when I read this. Harper didn't have a single multi-game or multi-home run game all of last season. I had to go back and check it like 2 or 3 times. I couldn't believe it. I mean, that's shocking to me. But for him to have already, I think, 2 this season and to do it and that walk-off on Sunday was something. I mean, I wasn't watching that game live. I had it on. I was definitely on tape delay because the Wizards and there was other stuff going on Sunday, Easter Sunday. But, wow, like, talk about rising to the moment, but, you know, full count, ninth, bottom of the ninth, and he just crushed the ball, And it was nice to see the team rally around him too. I think there's been some animosity on and off between him and some others in the clubhouse. But it's good to see them somewhat start off or out of the gate, at least even keel or maybe a little bit quicker than last year. But they're only averaging – well, not only. They're averaging 7-plus runs in their wins, if I'm doing the math right, and I think only 3 in their losses. So when the bats show up, we win. And I think that's been the narrative and the story for years past as well. But Max coming on tonight, I think he's 1-1 on the season. What do you, I mean, he's got to hopefully get back to where he was last year. He is on the mound tonight, right, Steve?
Yeah, Max is on the mound tonight. And look, what you pointed out with the, you know, the run differential when they win and lose, that's a streaky bat team. Okay, I don't know if that's a term, but these guys tend to get really, really
sounds
streaky.
A little dirty, but okay.
It's hashtag central baseball, all right? That's for Danny Rudy.
Hashtag Carmelo.
When these bats get hot, you see it with Ryan Zimmerman right now. Ryan Zimmerman is hot, and now he's hitting everything. And same thing with Jason Worth. So these guys get hot, and they go on a streak, and, you know, they start putting up runs. And then, you know, the bats get cold, and you know, they can't hit anything. And that's actually what's been plaguing them once they get into the playoffs, is the bats get cold in the playoffs, and they can't score any runs. So Max is awesome. Max is going to be great tonight. Braves stuck. You know, the new stadium, I know they won the first game in the new stadium, but, you know, they should take, let's hopefully they can take, you know, three or four, you know, in Atlanta, and let's see where this goes.
I know it's really early in the season, but the bullpen is got to be concerning. I mean, the closer situation, it's really early, but it's something that as Nats fans kind of looked at way before the season and said, you know, this is going to be the Achilles heel of the team. And we're here, you know, 3 weeks into the season, and it's already been, you know, an issue. What's the solution to that, Steve?
I mean, the like I said, it's a young bullpen. So Cody Glover is getting used to the majors. Blake Treinen is getting used to closing. You know, Oliver Perez, you're seeing what he's got left in the tank. Sammy Solis, these guys need time to develop. And I think, you know, I think we're going to see something from Rizzo if they don't develop. That's what I'm saying, is having this as a problem right now is actually a good thing, because either it gets developed and it gets corrected and amended and these guys step up, or there's going to be changes. And that's why I trust Rizzo that, you know, this isn't a situation where, you know, we're in October or we're in September and they have no answer. This is, what are we, you know, we're not even May 1st or April 18th today. So they got plenty of time. Let's see these young arms, you know, progress and see what I actually, you know, I'll go on record here. I think Cody Glover is going to end up being the long-term closer come June, July, August. And I think Treinen's great, but I think he's a setup guy. I think he's always been a setup guy. And so I think Cody's just going to be more of a natural fit in there. And I think Treinen and Sean Kelly will be the main setup guys in the seventh and eighth inning.
Oh, it's a long season. They definitely have to figure it out. I mean, that's ultimately they're going to have to figure it out. But when the bats show up, the Nats are always going to have a chance. I think that's been just consistent. That's been the rhythm of this team, so to speak, year in and year out for several years now. When they show up and they punish the ball, they win games. So we'll see what happens. This is a big series for them at Atlanta. Can we pivot and talk about the colossal disaster of the Capitals? And what's happening with them right now?
We have to.
As I much mean, of a pivot, so bad. As much of the similarities are in both teams, right? Regular season champs, best team in the league, come to the playoffs, whole new game.
Well, one of us on the last podcast made a point to call out the youth and athleticism of this Leafs team as something that was going to haunt the Caps. And I'm going to go ahead and gloat a little bit. I'm 100% right on this. They can hang with anybody simply because they're athletic, they're young, they're tenacious. They're just gonna hang around. They get their goals. For the series, they're putting in four. They're averaging essentially four goals a game. So they're gonna get their points. Maybe the pressure, maybe the stage is too big for the Caps. Ovechkin was only on the ice yesterday for 15 minutes, I think. I mean, about six minutes below his average, his playoff career average. I don't know what's going on, but you can hear the collective, head and hands gasp of all DC sports fans. It looks like history is about to repeat itself.
Yeah, definitely. Well, I mean, but on a positive note, how awesome was that Holtby save yesterday? I mean, the dude came.
There's no positive notes when you lose. What are you talking about? You lost the game. let's get your boy a participation trophy.
Hold on. what I said on the last podcast was we didn't want the Caps to come out to a large lead in the series just because I see them being lax, and this is complete opposite of what happened. They're down 2-1. I think, you know, the pressure is now on Toronto, and this is where a young team can
oftentimes
fold.
There's no lower seed with a 2-game lead that's feeling pressure. It's house money. They can come out and play loose. It's the Caps that feel all the pressure now. I take it you must disagree. does anyone disagree with me? If you're the number one seed.
It's the playoffs. It's the playoffs, and you know, these are athletes, but they're still human beings. So I think no matter what seed you're in, you're going to feel the pressure. The Caps kind of have felt the pressure for the past 7 years and kind of in this situation here. You know, who knows?
Look,
the series is still a 7-game series. It's still 2-1. You know, there's still a lot of hockey to be played. The Caps still have, on paper, the better team. You know, who knows what's going to happen? Let's see. Let's see, you know, the changes that Trotz is going to make. We know Carl Alsner is going to be out next game.
All you guys are quick to be like the rest of the people out there and freak out and claim it's the curse. And yesterday we were all texting. You're all ready to jump ship, full-on Wizards mode. Like, here's the point, right? The Caps came out. Their first line did great. They got us out to a great start. And if you look around the NHL, Monday was a crazy day for all playoff hockey, right? Everybody was shocked by the outcomes. It's, yes, backs against the wall, start slow. Everything LP is saying is happening. Joe's right, right? The Maple Leafs came out and they gave it to us. They're younger, but we're still the more experienced team. We're still the better qualified team. We're down, but it's not too much it's not to the point where you have to freak out, right? Like, this is the better team. I mean, it's almost like the Warriors in the finals, right? Everyone was freaking out.
They lost. Wait. The Warriors got punished by an inferior team. That's actually a perfect example. The pressure is on you and you're supposed to win and you don't. Look, the Caps had to come back from 0-2 in game one. And had to go to overtime on a miracle goal to pull out that victory. They gave up the next game, right? They lost the next one in overtime, and then they lost the third one in overtime. I'm not seeing a whole lot of things to be positive about here.
Listen, and SP, this isn't an X's and O's conversation. We are not having an X's and O's conversation because X's and O's are not what's beating this team. It's all mental. They are the best team in hockey, and they get into the playoffs. They're not playing against the Maple Leafs. They are playing against the curse. They are playing against the Capitals of 7 years of misery. They are not. This isn't an X's and O's thing, and everyone's trying to explain it away by, oh, the Maple Leafs played faster. Oh, they got the bounces, the puck bounced right for the – this is a mental problem, and this is a mental thing that they can't get over. And it's not going to change until they just are – is this a mentally weak team? Is Ovi a mentally weak superstar? I mean, the guy got 15 minutes on the ice, you know, last night. That's ridiculous. Is that on him? Is that on Trotz? And I know that's X's and O's, but it's just – God, it's so mental with this team that it's unbelievable.
I'll agree that it's mental, right? Because we could come out hot and then all of a sudden we're taking – blank shots, we're doing horrible passes when we're on defense across ice, and they're just
blank shots sounds like another thing. Carmelo Anthony reference, but continue.
What we need is LP, right? We need sexy scoring. I mean it's almost like the Wizards, right? Like against the Hawks, that extra pass that we were pulling right on Sunday, that extra pass was resulting in amazing shots, right? You almost have to take that into the Caps, where you need to just slow down the pace of the game, go back to your fundamentals. And it's true. It's what Steve is saying. It's almost like they're feeling more pressure than the rest of us are trying to admit right now. But they are still the better team. And when their backs are against the wall and when this series gets tied up and it goes down into crunch mode, I honestly think that our playoff experience is going to take over. And the Maple Leafs, the Maple Leafs may even come out next game and feel overly cocky for being up 2-1, and it could bite them in the butt. I mean, that's the realistic thing that happens when you have an inexperienced team, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's got to come on Ovi's shoulders. It's got to come on the top six guys, TJ Oshie, Kuzi, all these guys. I mean, these guys are stars of the NFL or the NHL, and they're not coming to play. I mean, this is the first round of the playoffs. It's a 1 seed versus an 8 seed, and these guys are just stinking it up. These guys are supposed to be the stars, and stars in the playoffs have to play like stars.
But LP, the stars in the NHL also aren't on the ice as much as stars in the NFL, NBA. It's different, but I agree with you that if they pull this out, it's going to have to be the studs that do the work. Well, let's just go around the
horn.
Could
also be a Carmelo thing.
Well, I mean, come on, how are you tagging a stripper without putting a hat on? Like, you know what's going to happen?
Come on, Joe,
sorry,
my nephew.
Back to the Caps.
Let's go around the horn.
Three shots.
Yeah, perfect. So I'll start with you, FP. Are the Caps going to pull this out? Yes or no?
Absolutely. I have zero doubt that they're going to pull this off. I mean, we only took three shots in the third.
LP, yes or no? They pull this out.
I'm going to say something that I would never imagine, but I think the Caps are going to actually win a game 7, and I think this is the series that they're going to win a game 7.
If this goes 7, we have no chance. Stevie, do they win the series?
I feel a lot better. I was literally going to say they will take it to a game 7, and then I know for a fact they will not win game 7. So, LP, that's good. That makes me feel more confident about my
prediction. Get the book of bets. We got one guy saying win in game 7 with no track history. The odds are definitely – the betting odds are for sure in your favor, LP, because there's no history to support that the Caps can win a game 7 on their home ice or on the moon or on Jupiter. It doesn't matter. But if it goes 7, it's too long of a series. The mental factor will crush them. We'll see what happens. Can we pivot here again? Can we go Wizards real quick? The Eastern Conference Finals champions, Washington Wizards. Can we talk about them a little bit?
I'm ready, man. Let's go. I'm hype after Sunday. Bring it on.
So before we jump into it, the NBA has got to fix the scheduling of these games. It is completely insane that they play Sunday at 1, Wednesday at 8, and Saturday at like 4. I have no idea why it's taking so long. There's going to be games, there's going to be series that are over potentially by the time the Wizards are playing their third game. It's completely crazy. I don't know what, I mean, you would think that it's because the Caps and the Wizards share a building, but the Caps aren't even in town. They weren't in town yesterday. So I don't know what the scheduling is.
Is your issue because of momentum? Is that
absolutely
your issue?
I think
but couldn't you also
this
say
long
that
breaks? I think,
well,
I think it works
on,
against
it
the Wizards.
It helps
I think
with
it works
injuries,
against
though,
the Wizards.
Right?
No,
sure,
it absolutely
need
helps.
Rest.
It helps the Wizards. It helps the Wizards so much. Jan Mahimi is, out since last
don't need him.
Tuesday, Wednesday.
Don't need him. Don't
Nobody
need
cares
seven
about
to 10
him.
Days. We don't
gives
need him.
Him. Gives him.
Makes no difference.
Keep him out. Keep him out.
Might as well be you playing center. Doesn't matter.
No, you're sore knees. Come
you
on, guys, Joe. You're old. You ran a marathon. How much time did you need?
I ran a half.
But I did walk over 150 miles training. If you want to talk, we can do a whole segment about my marathon running. But the Wizards, look, in reality, that team looked so good against the Hawks. They went down, they fought back, and then they put their foot down, and they never let up. And it was great to see them play that way. John Wall, unguardable by any other guard.
About? They never let up.
They never let up.
Did you see what the bench did? The bench pretty much dug a 30-point deficit right there. From being up 15 to down 15. No, you have to worry about the bench a little bit.
I'll keep
and that's
high
where
level.
Don Mahimi changes the dynamic of the bench.
Does he start or does he come in off the bench?
Bench.
Okay.
That's why he changes the dynamic of the bench.
I don't care about Jan Mahimi. All I want to say is the two most impressive teams after two games in the playoffs have been the Washington Wizards and the Houston Rockets, both of which we have money on winning each of their respective conferences. Thank you very much. Baveda, bring it on.
I'm pretty sure Joe was picking the Spurs, and
you're right. Joe picked the Spurs to win the West and the Wizards to beat them in the finals on this podcast. But odds and betting are very different, and Joe took the Rockets.
What do you mean,
to win
Joe
the West.
Took? It's a what? It's a dual account,
really?
Joe. There's $50 of mine in there.
That's fine. The parlay was your call, but well, yeah, we got to take the odds here. The Wizards are, I mean, the handicap is just out of control. Charles Barkley was on the Wizards a couple weeks ago, but every somewhat reputable talking head right now says that the Wizards are the team to beat in the East, and it's simply because of that the team is balanced and they're playing great. And on top of that, you look at what the other guys have run into. The Pacers almost beat the Cavs in game one, and then they didn't do so well in game two. But even beyond that, the Celtics are going to lose, I think, again. I expect them to lose. I mean, it's unfortunate what's happening with Isaiah. But hey, what can you do? And then
So we have tomorrow the 19th at 7 p.m. We have the 22nd, which is on Saturday at 5:30 p.m. And then we have on Monday at 8 p.m. And then, if necessary, the next game is on Tuesday, and then it's 2 days later on the 27th. I completely agree with the schedule being a complete mess by the NBA, but it helps the Wizards, you know, with Kelly Oubre banged up and Jason Smith banged up and Jan Mahimi obviously out. That's three of your core bench that is banged up, and they need the rest. They need the extra days off. So I completely agree with you. I think the schedule is crazy and the NBA really needs to change that up. But I think it helps the Wizards in the first round. Hopefully this series doesn't go past four games and, you know, the bench can rest after that. But, you know, I think the bench has got to be able to have a better plus minus than what they did on Saturday.
I think our bench is doing just fine, honestly. I mean, Oubre, like you were saying, Oubre needs to change his shot up a little when he gets those steals and runs to the basket by himself. That can't happen anymore, right? I mean, you can't get blocked by the rim. You need to stop doing that. But I agree. I think the rest helps. It helps the sore knees. It'll help Mahimi. I mean, we are a balanced team, just like Joe said. We are probably the team to be feared. Cavs look like doo-doo. I mean, the Pacers, they're just as bad as they look. They're not going to get past the Cavs. I mean, we are the team right now, and I'm really not afraid of anybody else in the East, even the Celtics. I'm not afraid of them. If the Bulls could take it to the Celtics, and mind you, Isaiah Thomas had a heavy heart and probably wasn't, I mean, although he still played a great game, but if the Bulls could take it to him and it was sound defense, I think we could do it, right? I mean, I'm not the only one.
Yeah, I agree, but like, I mean, I think you guys are letting the bench off way too easy on this. I mean, it pretty much took John Wall, Bradley Beal, and some heroics pretty much on the third quarter, and the middle of the third quarter and the fourth quarter to turn this game around where they're in a comfortable lead. The bench can't play like that every game.
They don't have to, but they won't play like that every game either. I think history has proven throughout the course of the season, they will show up. I'm not worried about them, you know, but the biggest threat, and on the last podcast, we talked about Dwight Howard and how do we control him? I'm not worried about Dwight Howard. I'm not worried about Hardaway Jr. There's nobody on this team, honestly, that scares me a whole lot right now. As far as the Hawks go, I think the Wizards should be able to handle business. I'd like to see them do it quicker. Instead of taking their time, I'd like to see it only go, you know, I'd love to see a sweep, but, you know, five games would be fine, given just a little bit of extra time between series. But let's be honest here. Things are lining up very, very well for the Wizards. There's a chance that the Bucks and the Bulls can compete and potentially win their respective series, which means that the Raptors and the Celtics are going to be gone by the second round, which is huge, huge. Now, it still doesn't change the fact that we're likely going to run into the Cavs, but I'm not afraid of the Cavs. Let's take on LeBron.
I want the Cavs.
The king of the, yeah.
I want him.
Bring on the king of the millennials. Let's bring him here and let's beat the snot out of him. I'm not worried about that.
We can also talk about how if the Pacers didn't wet the bed, that they would be in contention against the Cavs.
Yeah, it's true. That final Paul, shot. Paul I mean, George, the Pacers definitely could have taken it.
Paul George pretty much, you know, kind of self-destructing that team with some of his comments.
Yeah, I think he's making it clear that he doesn't want to be there beyond this season. I think when you start taking shots openly at your teammate and management and questioning effort and things like that, I think you're making it clear. It's a page out of the Carmelo playbook, right? It's just kill everybody. But I think it's different in that he won't be a Pacer come next year. Yeah, but maybe he's a Wizard. He'd be a nice piece actually on our team, but let's leave that for later. It doesn't look like they're going to beat the Cavs. So, you know, I'm mentally preparing to see LeBron and the Cavs in the second round. I think we can beat them. I think we're probably the only team. If the Bucks, Bulls, Wiz, and Cavs advance, we're the only team that can beat the Cavs in a series. So let's take our shot. Let's do it. And I think we actually match up pretty well against the Bulls and the Bucks or the Celtics. I just don't see – nobody scares me. And I think, you know, go back a couple podcasts, we said, like, who do we want to see or not want to see? Nobody wants to see the Wizards. And it's, assuming health, we're going to be fine. I think the Wizards, again,
about
are
how
poised
the Wizards
to do it.
Yeah, we talked about how the Wizards were slumping, and I said these guys are just ready for the playoffs. You can see what Scotty did to these guys on Sunday. I mean, that fast start, everyone was ready to play. Everyone was energized. Scotty has this team in check.
Well, yeah, I mean,
I agree.
Beal went on 106.7. He said Scotty drilled it into their head. It's all about defense, and they got to play defense hard even if the shots aren't sinking. They did that game one, and if they stick to that mindset, honestly – It's a wrap, right? I mean, that's it.
All right.
Have
so
we
we're
done
all
predictions
big...
for the series yet? Have we done predictions for this series?
Well, yeah, I got them winning the NBA finals
for this series.
Against the Hawks.
Clearly they're going to beat the Hawks. Yes.
I'll say sweep.
Five.
I said five. I put it on the blog.
4-1. Very hard to sweep a team. Very hard to sweep a team. In any sport. All right, so let's see here. What do we got? Okay, for all the Odd Sharks out there, this is not a plug for the Odd Shark website, although if you want to sponsor us, we will definitely take your sponsorship money. Just my own 2 cents here, Joe's tips for tonight's games. The Bucks +8, Bulls +7, Jazz +8.5. Those are three fantastic flyers. I'm taking all three of those teams to outright win, but even if they don't, I think all of them will cover 7 points. Parlay it, make some money. Thank me tomorrow. You're welcome. That's, you know, Bucks +8, Bulls +7, Jazz +8.5. I think all three are going to win personally. Maybe the Jazz drop to the Clips, but they'll definitely cover eight points. So I think those are three big winners. Thank me tomorrow. That's it for us. Paul, where can they find our stuff?
Find us on Instagram at Defeating the Curse, on Twitter at Defeat the Curse, and on our blog at DefeatingTheCurse.com.
That's it for us. We are out.